We warmly welcome Janet as our speaker for this Monday Night Miracles meeting on February 23rd. When you speak, it is considered implied consent to have your voice and your share recorded and posted on oafootsteps.com as a podcast. To preserve your anonymity, please use only your first name or an alias when you share. The opinions expressed here today are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. And Janet, I'll pass it off to you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Olivia. My name is Janet. I'm a compulsive overeater in the Los Angeles area. I'm a 100-pounder, and I'm very grateful to be here tonight. It's a little late for me. I thought about coming in my pajamas, but decorum won out. Actually, my kimono does look like pajamas. Anyway, I'd like to start by just sharing some pictures because I have had a massive transformation in my life. And this is the largest known picture of me before. I didn't see this is 2000, this is the year 2000, and I did not see this until 2023. And I meant to switch. Sorry about that. And this is basically me with my husband and our two close friends. And this is December of 2025, 2024, I think. And that is basically it. Close that and stop the share. Stop the madness. Where's the stop share button? There it is. Okay, great. So I came to OA in 1980 and I stayed for 14 years. And I also got sober in that time period. I got sober in 1984. And I never understood the doctor's opinion. I never understood that I could not stop binging because I kept putting those ingredients I was allergic to into my body, which only exacerbated the obsession. And I can remember those days really clearly. It was like a freight train running through me. And I would go out and get my binge food and I would carry on and I would eat myself sick, pass out, wake up, have some more. It was just like other substances in my life, but the food was my first drug of choice. It was the first thing that I ever had that had an effect. And what happened for me was after being in the program, being in OA for 14 years, and not being able to get any abstinence, I took a step back and I decided I'd think about it for a little while. And that led to that top weight. And it took me 6 years to get there, but people say, how could you let, I've had, family members say, how could you let yourself get that big? Well, my version of reality had no bearing on what was really going on. It's like the disease of compulsive overeating, the disease of addiction is centered in the brain. And part of that for me is, that I don't process reality correctly. And it's also why having to stay really connected to the program and the steps and the traditions are really important to me. The one thing that I did when I was out there was I did have medical intervention, and that's an outside issue. And if you have had a medical intervention or are thinking about one, OA has no opinion on that, and you are welcome here. And you belong here if you say you belong here. And that's, tradition three. And the only requirement is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And I had that desire. And I was lucky enough to get back 20 years later on December 1st of 2014. And I really worked the steps. Honestly, I didn't put in like the right answer when, when they start asking about, my eating history and the things that we normally do. I just started talking about what these things meant to me, especially when it got to step three, about turning my will and my life over to the care of a higher power that I could not define. The big book tells me, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells me that I'm not, it's not a moral issue. It's lack of power that I have. And that power is promised to me by working the steps and turning my will and my life over to power greater than myself and, living in 10, 11, and 12. And I really got it. Somehow I got it. And I got that I was allergic to certain ingredients. And when I played with any of those ingredients, I wound up back out there. And when I came back, I had asked, I had beseeched a God I didn't believe in to help me. And I had that white flash experience of knowing that one minute I was going out the door to buy candy at 11:30 at night. The next minute, I was 5 minutes later, I was taking my shoes off and getting ready for bed. And I had been, while I hadn't been binging, I had been con a constant trickle, constant trickle. And that allowed me to get back here and to get to a meeting. I got to a meeting the next day, and I called somebody that I had known forever in the program and asked if I could turn my food over to her, and while I looked for a sponsor, and she said absolutely. And what truly happened for me was, I want to give you a little picture of what I was like the 5 years before I got back here. I was anxiety ridden. I'd become slightly agoraphobic. I could leave the house if I was with you, if I was with like somebody close to me. I had a little eBay business, and I couldn't go 3 blocks to the post office by myself. So I hired somebody in my condo complex to take them for me. I went from the bed to the couch to the dining room chair without benefit of shower for days and days at a time. I was so depressed and so unfocused. And my dear husband never lost faith that I would come out of this, but I was really scared. And I had applied for permanent disability, Social Security disability, because I doubted I would ever work again. I had a chronic illness. I was in a lot of pain. And what happened was I got abstinent, and within 30 days of not eating my trigger foods, not eating my allergic ingredients, I felt better. Within 3 months, I was like 80% pain, the pain was diminished by 80%. And then I started working a little bit here and there, and the job came up for an office assistant at the OA office in San Fernando Valley in the Los Angeles area. And I applied for that, and that job required a background check, references, and it paid like $15 an hour. I hadn't earned a salary in 5 years, so $15 an hour sounded right sized. And it took a month, and I did get the job. And in May, I'll celebrate 11 years there. And 10 of those years, I've been the office manager. And a year later, the Los Angeles Intergroup reached out to me. Their gal had completely stopped doing the job and wasn't getting a lot of oversight, and they were in a mess. And they asked me if I could come help them. And I said, okay, let me come over and see what you got. And so what happened for me is those two jobs, part-time jobs, parlayed into an adult worker who wasn't quitting every 90 days because somebody looked at me crosswise. And I got to grow up in these jobs. I got to face, I answer to a board of directors on each side. That's 12 different personalities. And on one side, it changes every 12 months. On the other side, it changes every 24 months. And so the healing for me was that I was so emotionally immature that I threw away opportunities that people would, they'd give anything to have an opportunity at. And I just kept changing jobs and asking for more money. And I think that was just for the pleasure of my company. I'm not really sure what I thought was so special about my services, but I did take ownership of my jobs, and I've always worked my job like as if I were the owner of the company. But what happened was all these millions of jobs I had done from my teens on up, they all prepared me for this one gig that required dealing with the public, talking to newcomers, selling books and merchandise, selling collecting rents, bookkeeping, just a lot of things that came together. And it was like I'd come through the crucible, and God had taken all of my shortcomings and character defects and made them work in this situation. So I kind of feel like I have immersion therapy. And one of the things that happened for me was I had this amends I didn't make. And it had been on my 8-step list for a long time. And I kept dreaming about this person that I owed this money to. It was a financial amends. And it was in the, I don't know, I guess the third or fourth year that I'd been earning money again. And I made a commitment that I was going to make this payment. And I didn't know how, but I meditated on when. And the answer was in that year, March 15th. And on March 15th, I had an extra $1,000 in my account to pay this amends, and I sent off a check, and this woman was extremely angry with me, and told me that I was just another one of those, highfalutin 12-steppers who think they're above everybody else. And if I had paid her $20 a year, it would have been paid off. And she was right. And I had to work through my resentment and my desire to not face her wrath. So I sent off the check. This was my ninth step amends to this woman with a note wishing her really well, because I'd heard she had, her partner had died, and I heard she had remarried. And I clipped the check to the outside of the card, put it in the envelope, and I didn't hear anything. But about 5 days later, the check had been cashed. And I considered the, oh, thank you. I'd considered the matter closed. And then 2 weeks later, I had a $3,000 windfall come my way. And that's the kind of sense of humor my higher power has had all this time for in my case. And it's really steeped my faith in that I'm going to be carried if I stick close to God and do His work. So I did my ninth step. I went back through, did the ninth step amends. And then I've had the pleasure of, sponsoring ever since I did my steps in my first year coming back. I had a it's like really disconcerting that I'm looking at like all of these like pictures of people, I have to say. It's intimidating. And I kind of feel like I'm in a vacuum. Oh, thank you. Thank you guys for coming back. So anyway, I'm usually very funny, and I'm just not feeling it tonight. I just really want to say how much my life has changed. My marriage is a miracle. We're celebrating 20 years next month, and we are, two peas in a pod, and we're really very grateful for the pro to the program, and because I got abstinent and he changed, right? And I learned how to, when I'm wrong, I learned how to take criticism and look at it and admit when admit to my part, keep my side of the sidewalk clean. I sponsored five women in this program, and they are just an absolute joy in my life. My sponsor has a sponsor, and she sponsors other people. And I was taught early on that you can't keep this thing until you give it away. And I really believe that the culture of service is so important to teach the people we work with, because this program will not be here for future generations if we don't do our part by holding the traditions and giving back to the program. We had an event in the San Fernando Valley on Saturday night that Rich put on, and we had 55 people show up for karaoke and fellowship, and it was fantastic, and everybody was having a great time. And it felt like old times, because there's a lot of Zoom meetings now, and getting together in person is not as prevalent as it was prior to the shutdown. So it just showed me that we have to work a little harder and do these things a little more often, because it one of the things about service is that it helps us feel connected to the community. When I was a newcomer in AA, I washed ashtrays and cups, and I absolutely abhor cigarettes. And I just did what they told me to do. And I got to know people. People got to know me just by showing up and being of service. And it puts you in the middle of the herd. And that for me is the place I need to be, because I am an isolator I appear real gregarious, but I adore time spent alone, and I could easily go into isolation without trying too hard. And just really a strong pitch for taking a commitment at a meeting, taking outreach calls, getting outside of ourselves. And I really am so grateful to this program and the transformation in my life. And I just hope that no matter what's going on with you, anybody in the meeting, I would say, don't quit before your miracle, because it's here. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Let's give our speaker, Janet, a big round of applause for a wonderful share. Now is the time to ask our speaker questions. As we are still recording, we ask that you put your questions in the chat and I will read them aloud. You're welcome to message them to me directly or to the group. Or to the group. We ask that you do not come off mute to ask your question or to thank the speaker verbally in this section, as we don't have permission to record other attendees. We will allow up to 15 minutes for questions for our speaker, after which time we will have sharing until 15 minutes after the hour and then in our parking lot. All right, so the first question that I have in here, Janet, I have what is your daily morning routine?
I was expecting that one. Okay, so my morning routine is I have a few videos that I like to listen to and sort of be enveloped in. And one of them is, a woman reading the On Awake. No, she starts with the 10-step promises, and then goes into On Awakening, and then does the third, seventh step prayers. And that's about 18 minutes long. That I like to read something. I of course get my coffee first, because I'm a spiritual giant. And some days I do different things. And some days I get up, I get my coffee, and I turn on the news. And invariably that doesn't make me as happy as the other ritual. I do spend quiet time, and it might not be the first thing in the morning, because there's a lot going on here in the house in the morning. And then I will do a reset in the afternoon. And one of the things I like to do is, I like to listen to different videos of personalities that are outside issues, but talking about spirituality. And the quiet time that I spend is very productive for me. And I also like two-way prayer. So I mix it up.
Thank you. Another question. How did your agoraphobia improve? Can you leave the home freely now to go to in-person meetings or other service?
I did overcome it. I did get outside help, and I did get my problem was really ADHD. And I was in the 90 percentile, and that got resolved and medically, and that gave me the ability to come back 2 weeks after I was being handled medically. I was able to come back to the program after 20 years of being out there, and the anxiety got alleviated by doing first things first and keeping it real simple. I had to do that for a while, but now I can go anywhere. Pretty much anywhere I want to go. I've, flown by myself several times.
Thank you. And how was your spiritual path change in program?
That's an interesting question. I came in feeling like I was somewhere between agnostic and atheist, thinking that, I don't know about this God thing, but the way it has shaken out for me is I believe that the universe is moving in a certain direction. And if I align myself in the direction things are actually going, I get that peace and doors open and the next right thing shows up. And I think of God as somewhere between like the force and something I can have an intimate relationship with. And I get a lot of promptings. I get a lot of promptings. And if I don't listen, I'm usually sorry.
Thank you. Do you have any exercise you incorporate? If so, how do you get going when you feel the inertia and need to get going again?
I love Pilates, and my usual routine is to go 3 or 4 times a week. I just had a new shoulder installed, a total reverse shoulder replacement in November. And so I'm doing physical therapy, and I'm looking forward to April when they say I can go back to Pilates. And I also walk the dogs 3 times a day, and I will be doing this PT for a long time.
Thank you. What was the greatest miracle? What would have happened if you had quit before that miracle?
I would have wound up on permanent disability, left to my own devices, and dysfunctional, and it could have led to the demise of my marriage, which is so important to me. I just feel like God lifted me out, just lifted me out. And I have a friend in program who says God sends a search and rescue for us addicts. And I do feel that happened for me.
Thank you. What has your journey with body image been like? Do you have a hard time seeing your body as it actually is now?
I had rapid weight loss in 2006. I had reconstructive surgery in 2008. And I actually think I'm pretty cute. I have a lot of freedom. I have a lot of, I run around naked. I'm very comfortable in my skin, very comfortable in my intimate relationship. And that's nothing short of a miracle.
Thank you. How did you develop your sponsorship style and how has it changed over the years?
Well, I'll tell you, I take people through the big book. I take them through the Westminster questions, which is, 10 questions, like broken up for steps 1, 2, and 3. And then I like to send people to the AA 12 and 12 for the fourth step to read about that together. And then the OA fourth step. And then what I do is, if they're local, I like to get together to do the fifth step. And then there's an AA book that's not conference approved, but I still give it to my sponsees. I won't tell you the name of it, but you can call me if you want to know. And working through character defects. And remind them, hold their hand and remind them that they're only making a list. When we get to 8, you're only making a list. You're not required to do anything before it's time to do it, and you will know when it's time to do it. And we get motivated when we see how our life changes as we make amends. And then, 10, 11, and 12, I try and get people to start doing the 10th step early on, and do a night. It's really a spot check inventory, but then there's also the nightly review. So, a lot of paper and pen. Not, I really encourage people to not get stuck in their story.
Thank you. How do you find your way back to step 11 when you feel far from it?
That's a really good question. I, when I feel far from it, I use like a tapping technique so that I don't have to like think about, the what is the higher power, if I'm not, if I'm feeling like I'm not exactly close. And then also just, like I said, the two-way prayer, just writing to God how I feel, change the pen color, and I, and I have the answer come out. And what happens for me every time is the answer that comes out when I do this, so much more loving and so much more kind than I could have thought of on my own. And 12 step, you just keep giving it away, keep trying with people. They don't stay, it doesn't matter. You stayed abstinent another day.
Thank you. How did you work through the resentment against the person you made your ninth step financial amends to?
I took responsibility for my side of it. I did a lot of writing about it, and it was easier to stay mad at her than to look at the facts. And part of it was taking this job helped me get right-sized in lots of areas of my life, and one of them was it made me humble before this, and as I sat before this amends, it made me humble. And when I found out she had remarried, I was genuinely happy for her. And when it came time to write the check, I just blessed it and sent it off. But it was a process.
Thank you. Do you experience food neutrality? If not, how do you navigate food thoughts that still come up?
I do have neutrality. I do not wish for, desire, or think about the food that I don't eat. I feel, and this is different from what it was like for the 14 years I was here. I do not feel deprived. I feel blessed that I am not compelled to eat these foods. I can serve them, can have them in my house. It is a God-given abstinence, and I am so grateful for it.
Thank you. It says, I'm experiencing a lot of restlessness in my life. How do you navigate that kind of feeling?
Restless, irritable, and discontent. I, if I'm feeling restless, if I've got spielkes, ants in the pants, and I can't sit still, and I've got that feeling in the pit of my stomach, I, my first line of defense is the telephone. Just call. So if I'm not identifying, and I've tried writing and I'm not identifying what it is that's, because for me, I come from a background where there was abuse in my childhood. And part of that was being gaslit that that never happened. And so I didn't trust what I felt when I came in. So I couldn't always identify what was making me feel that way. And it was between the writing and the telephone, getting a trusted program friend. Because if I go to my friend who's not in the program, they're always going to take my side.
How did your relationship with your family beyond your husband change with your recovery?
I had a sister I didn't speak to for 9 years, and we had a niece who got married, and I threw the shower, and so I had to welcome her in, and I practiced opening the door with a smile, and we reconciled, and 6 months later she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and I took care of her for 9 years abstinently.
Thank you.
Oh, and I also nursed my father. I walked him home his last 5 months. And I have a relationship with my surviving sister.
Any other questions coming in?
Those were really good questions.
We're just about at time too, but I'll give it another beat in case any come in the chat. All right. Thank you so much, Janet, for your shares and for your service and answering the questions. Thank you so much just for being here. Actually, is there one more? No, I got one more question. One more question for these last 30 seconds. What is your biggest challenge today?
My biggest challenge is time management. My biggest challenge is time management. I juggle two jobs, a business, a household to run, and two crazy pets. That's before I even step outside the door. And I've been using bookending to help me stay on track.
Awesome. Thank you so much.